God bless you, saints. I wanted to share a little testimony with you. We're still getting signs and wonders here. A while back, a few months back, the Lord, I thought, was impressing me to buy a gas refrigerator. And that was something I hadn't really thought about doing. I figured we were going to end up with a few of those in this area for very good purposes. And so I wasn't sure it was the Lord, so I waited a little while, and sure enough, it came again. And so I asked Michael to pray with me and agree with me, or actually pray with me, and let's ask and get a sure word from the Lord if this is what he wanted to do. And sure enough, that's what he wanted. So we bought this gas refrigerator. And we've been tinkering a little bit with HHO, and we thought, well, this will be a good place to experiment with that, since we don't know of anybody that's using that to run refrigerators. And but the Lord beat me to it. That was my theory, but the Lord really beat me to it. What happened was, when we got it, we first started out with a 20-pound bottle, and that didn't last long. It didn't last more than, I think maybe a week and a half or something like that. It really wasn't as long as what they had advertised. So my thought was, okay, I'm going to tell these folks that this is not living up to their expectations or what they promised us. So, but the Lord said, nope, that's not what I got it for. So I want you to just pray for it, for efficiency. So Michael and I did that. We prayed that that thing would be efficient. And so by that time we had a 90-pound bottle on it. And it was going through it pretty fast. And so we got the bottle. It came all the way down to the, actually it had a gauge on it. It had the green and then the yellow and then the red. And of course the red is dead stop. It's totally empty, you know. The yellow is right on the edge of empty, you know. And, of course, the green is good, you know. So we let the thing run all the way down to the yellow, thinking, well, maybe we'll have to refill it. But the Lord had other plans, because remember, we had prayed that God was going to make that thing efficient. Well, after we prayed, the refrigerator part of the refrigerator started freezing things in the refrigerator. So I got underneath the refrigerator in the front, and I turned the valve, the gas valve, down, going to the flame. And I turned, they said normal would be 6. And so we started at 6, and it was running at 6 until we prayed for efficiency. And then it started freezing stuff in the freezer. So I got down there and turned it down to 5, and it was still freezing stuff in the freezer. So I turned it down to 4. That's efficiency for you, right? I turned it down to 4, and it was still freezing stuff in the freezer. So I turned it down to 3, which is half of what they say is normal. And so it seemed to be leveling out there, working pretty good. But it was working at half the gas flowing to the flame. And so what happened was it went all the way, the bottle, the gauge on the bottle went all the way down to the yellow and then to the red. And we didn't go and refill it. We waited and it moved up towards the green, and then got in the green, and then it went back down, you know. We'd look at it at different times, and I guess the Lord was just testing us, you know, and at different times. But look, the bottle, you could take the bottle and shake it. It was just a totally empty bottle, and you could thump it, and it just had that really that ting to it, you know, that when you thump it. And we both agreed that bottle's empty. And so we went along like this. We've been over a month now. I think a month and maybe a week or a half a week, I'm not sure. And been running it with no gas. And the other day I got down and looked underneath there, and there's a little gauge under the refrigerator where you turn where you hit the igniter. There's an igniter, and when it ignites, there's a little arrow under there that moves from white up into the green, and then you know it's lit and it's using full gas. And I got under there and looked at it, and that thing was pegged on the opposite side from the white all the way to the edge of the green. I'd never seen it do that before. I'm thinking, Lord, is this a sign you've made this thing super efficient? Well, it's still running. It's been doing that for a month. And I was telling Michael the other day, I says, you know, we've been tinkering with the HHO thing, splitting water into hydrogen and oxygen. And we was thinking to fuel this thing. I says, well, I guess the Lord really beat us to it. You know, his thoughts are high, high above our thoughts. And now we know that all we need is an empty propane bottle. Oh, Lord, he's just awesome. He is just far beyond anything we can ask or think. I've been asking him lately to do exceedingly abundantly above what we can ask or think. Now, that's a problem. We should be thinking higher than what we're thinking. We're still into man's works a whole lot, folks. And, you know, when Jesus came along, he showed the disciples how to live supernaturally, above the curse, above the need for man and his works, you know. And we're headed there. We really are. And it's going to be wonderful. I've said for a long, long time that the way the Lord's going to keep his people in the wilderness is supernaturally, you know. So I think you need to get ready, and you need to begin to walk in that direction. I've seen this happen before. I've seen it happen with gas in cars. I've driven cars on empty for some time. And me and Kurt was talking about one of those times the other day when he asked me to come get him because he had run off the road and on his paper route. And I was on empty. Had been on empty for a while. And I said, Lord, what you want me to do? He says, well, give to him that asketh of thee. So I got on the road and took off and, of course, drove it a while longer with no gas in it, you know. God's awesome. He is just awesome. He can do the same thing with electricity, folks. You know, I remember one time my lawnmower was not cranking. You know, I pulled it and pulled it, and it was in good shape. I knew it was in good shape. So I pulled it and pulled it, and no crank, you know. So I pulled the spark plug out and, you know, checked it on the side of the engine, and there was no spark. And my boys were walking around in the yard there playing, and I said, hey, boys, come on over here. Let's pray over this thing. This thing is going to run in the name of Jesus. So just remember, I'd pulled it and pulled it and pulled it, you know. So we prayed over it and commanded it to run in Jesus' name, and it ran. It ran without spark. You say, how can God do that? You know, well, I don't know. But he is an all-powerful, omnipotent God, and he can do whatever we can believe him for. He said all things whatsoever, didn't he? So I was thinking on that the other night, a few nights ago, about how little we really see as God sees. Actually, a sister had sent me a dream about that, you know, of not seeing good, but the power and the supply of man coming to an end. And I know that's going to happen with me, and I know it's going to happen with you. Praise be to God. So I was thinking on this, in the nighttime and praying and thanking God. And the next morning we had our prayer meeting, and we always get a verse. We ask the Lord to give us a verse supernaturally that fits with whatever we're praying about, or whatever needs we're praying about, or something He wants us to look at, or whatever. Well, the verse I got was Psalm 8 and 6. It says, "Thou makest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet." Thou hast put all things under his feet. Okay? So, if we just go back in Psalm 8 just a little bit, and let's read maybe verse 2 on down. It says, "Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings thou hast established strength." Well, you know, you don't really have to be grown up in the Lord to be strong in the works of God. I knew that from the time I was a baby and just was so impressed with the Word and tried it out, and lo and behold, I was seeing miracles. I didn't know much about the Word yet, but didn't matter. I was seeing miracles, because if you try God's way, He will show you. He wants to prove Himself. "Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings thou hast established strength." And truly, some people that have been in the Lord for a long, long time don't have any faith. And they will try to talk you out of faith. But babes that just pick up the Word and believe it and act on it, wow, they can see signs and wonders and miracles. I've seen that for 40 years. And it says, "Because of thine adversaries, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger." Well, amen. I mean, to put the devil, to shut his mouth and all of his demons, you know. He's given that authority even unto babes. "And when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him?" Well, amen. You know, the son of man, we are sons of man, but we're also sons of God. And this was, of course, first spoken to Adam. You can kind of tell by the dominion that he had over the creatures down in 7, 8, and 9. It was first spoken to Adam. And we know that, too, from Genesis. But it was also spoken to his children. "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than God," or the angels. Elohim is the word there. "Thou madest him a little lower than God, and crownest him with glory and honor. Thou makest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet." Well, now, we have a witness to this in the New Testament, that the Lord has put all things under our feet. When it is speaking about Jesus, in Ephesians 1:21, for example, it says, "Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come." Now, we know that about Jesus, but do we know that about ourselves? Because we are a part of the body of Christ. And Adam had children too that he was supposed to pass on that dominion to, but his servant you are whom you obey, and he obeyed the devil and he lost that dominion. But our Adam, as you know, as we've spoken many times, did not lose that dominion, because when he was tempted to the devil, he overcame, so he was able to pass it on to us. And he is the head of a body in which all dominion has been put under the feet of the body, and it says so here. "And he put all things in subjection under his feet, and gave him to be the head, not the feet, the head over all things to the church, which is his body. So now he's talking about the lowest part of the body, the feet. The fullness of him that filleth all and in all. He's in all. Listen, it's Jesus in us that does the work. We are his body, and he lives in his body, and now he does the work, and we have faith in him to do the work. We need to lift our sight a little higher, because he wants to do greater works through us than he has done in the past. And that's all coming. And notice, he put it all under his feet, which is his body. It's the very lowest member of his body, as a matter of fact. He put it all under his feet. And, of course, we've been told, quotes from Psalm 8 are in Hebrews, and it also makes it very plain there. I'm going to read to you chapter 2, just a little bit of chapter 2. It says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that were heard. Yeah, we have to pay more attention to what is written in this book than what men say. Men are liable to be dishonest and speak to you only of things that they've experienced, as though it's the gospel. But we have experience in this word that's far beyond that, and we're not living up to it. It says, heed to the things that were heard, lest haply we drift away from them. Yet so easy to do. The natural man, the people around you, the stuff that you listen to every day, drag you down on a human level. We weren't meant to live on a human level. We were meant to live on a Son of God level. Jesus is our example and our sacrifice. So verse 2 says, for if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Which, and it is a great salvation, we were saved from everything, sozoed everything, delivered from all of the curse, been given dominion over it. Jesus became a curse for us so we could have Abraham's blessings, you know. And he gave us dominion over the curse. If we neglect so great a salvation, which having at the first been spoken through the Lord, was confirmed unto us by them that heard. And it's still being confirmed by those that hear. If a person hadn't heard, how can they be sent? If they haven't heard, how can they speak, right? God also bearing witness with them, both by signs and wonders, and he still does that, saints. He gives signs and wonders to those whom he sends, because they heard, and they believe, and they go. An elder is somebody who is mature in the Lord. You've got elders out there, they don't have any power. And they've turned away from power, and they don't have any faith because they're not living there. And, of course, they're not elders. But elders do have signs and wonders. And by manifold powers and by gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. Well, amen. He gave us gifts. He gave us the gift, the major gift that God gave us was Jesus Christ through the reconciliation. And the reconciliation is an exchange of his life for ours, his ministry for ours, his works for ours, his holiness for ours. You know, he made an exchange. All of our failure was put on the cross, and all of his victory was given to us. Now, verse 5 says, for not unto angels did he subject the world to come. Well, it doesn't say the world to come. The Greek there is the inhabited earth. Did he subject the inhabited earth, whereof we speak? Not unto angels did he subject. No, that's a big difference. The world to come that makes people think about the future world after the millennium or whatever, you know. Well, it's not saying that. He's talking about the inhabited earth. He subjected it to Adam. Adam fell, lost it for his children. God raised up the last Adam, quote, Jesus Christ, who passed it on to his children, with great dominion, great promises, which are totally ignored in the church, you know. And people die for lack of those promises being manifested in their life or through them by Jesus who lives in them. Actually, Jesus doesn't live in them. If the Word, who is Jesus, lived in them, they would do His works. He said, these signs shall accompany them that believe. Didn't He? But one has somewhere testified, saying, yeah, He did it. In Psalm 8, that's where He testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. There it is. Thou didst put all things in subjection under his feet. See, the latter rain is going to be a revelation, not just an anointing. It's going to be a revelation down in your spirit that the Word of God is true. Power is going to go forth from God's people. They're going to shake the earth. There's going to be great signs and wonders and deliverances and healings and salvations. Great miracles. The greatest the world has ever seen. Including in Jesus' day, because He said, greater works than these shall you do, because I go to the Father. Because He went to the Father so that He could come back in every one of us by that anointing and by the Word that He spoke. He plans to live in all of us and do His mighty, mighty works. For in that He subjected all things unto Him, He left nothing that is not subject unto Him. Well, there it is. There it is. He left nothing that is not subject unto Him. But now we see not yet all things subject to Him. But, in other words, do you see it around you? Do you see everything being subjected to the people of God? Well, I don't see it. I know that it's true. I know that it happened in the Word, experientially. I know it, but I don't see it yet. Well, we're coming to that. But we behold Him who hath been made a little lower than the angels, even Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by grace of God, the grace of God, He should taste of death for every man. Well, you know, death is important before resurrection, isn't it? And resurrection life is what we're talking about. If you die to self, you die to your opinions, you die to your preacher's opinions, you die to your religious opinions, and you just accept what the Word of God says and ask God to make it real in your heart, He can do that. And it says, for it became Him for whom are all things, and through whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory. What glory is that? We behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and are transformed into that same image from glory to glory. It is His glory. And that includes your ministry, your works, your signs. Greater works than these shall you do, because I go to the Father, He said, to make the author of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both He that sanctifieth and they that are sanctified are all of one. For which cause He is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare my name, thy name, unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation I will sing thy praise. And again, I will put my trust in Him. And behold, I and the children whom God hath given me. Since the children are sharers in flesh and blood, He Himself also in like manner partook of the same, that through death He might bring to naught him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and might deliver all them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. He wants to deliver us from this earthly gravity, let me say. Gravity is natural law that pulls people in an earthly direction. And he wants to deliver us from that through death to self. So this awesome dominion that he gives, he speaks about, that he has given to us, it cannot be questioned. Nobody can argue against it. Oh, they can lie. They can deny the word, but they can't argue against it. You know, Jesus cursed the fig tree, and it withered away. And he told his disciples, hey, if you just have a little bit of faith, you could do that same thing. He said in Mark 11:22, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. The numeric says, have God's faith. See, this is the whole thing. When Jesus made reconciliation and he made this exchange, he took our unbelief on the cross, which is a sin, and he gave us his faith. Have God's faith. It's not your faith in God, it's God's faith in you. You see? So don't say you don't have enough faith. Say you have the faith of Jesus Christ, because reconciliation has been made. And the Bible says, as he is, even so are we in this world. Did you notice in Hebrews that he's talking about here and now? This inhabited earth is where we've been given dominion. And Jesus spoke this to his early disciples, and they were to make disciples and to tell them to obey everything that I told you, Jesus said. So therefore, they were to pass it on and on and on all the way down to us. Okay. And verse 23, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou taken up and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. There's the part right there. See, Jesus took that sin of doubt, that double-minded man, and he said the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Think not that that man shall receive anything from the Lord, right? He warned you that if you give in to that thing, you would not receive. You would not receive answers to these awesome, awesome dominions that he's given us through these promises, you know. Not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that what he saith cometh to pass, he shall have it. So if you don't doubt, you speak it and you don't doubt it. Now he's given you dominion over all things. If you speak it and you don't doubt it, you'll have it. There is a test. The devil is going to try to keep you from learning who you are in Christ and what you can do in Christ, right? Therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that ye receive them, and you shall have them. Now that's the Lord Jesus passed that on to his disciples. He told them to pass it on to you. And that's what we're reading here. And it's ours. It needs to be ours experientially. We need to live above this mud ball. Okay? And whensoever you stand praying, forgive. I know people that don't forgive. They got no power, no dominion, because the Lord won't give them faith, and faith is a gift from God. And whensoever you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against anyone, that your Father who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. You see, that's a hindrance right there. That's a major, major hindrance. It's people who are critical, angry, unforgiving, hatred, you know, factious. That's right there. That's why these people got no power, no faith, no miracles, no signs and wonders. So, praise be to God. Thank you, Father, that you've hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed it unto babes. Awesome word of dominion that he passed on to us. And Matthew 18:18-19 is another one. Verily I say unto you, what things soever you shall bind on earth. Now, isn't that what Hebrews said? We're the ones that have the dominion here. What things soever you shall bind on earth, you shall be bound in heaven. And what things soever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So who is he given dominion over the earth to? Jesus' disciples. It's right there. And again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered there, are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And awesome or what? So, it's beyond, I mean, you just can't call yourself Christian if you say, I don't believe the Word of God. But there's a lot of people that won't say it. They just won't believe it, you know. We've been given dominion. You know, we weren't created to be sons of men. Sons of men are passing away. Sons of men are dying. What the Lord is creating is sons of God. And that's why he gave me a little while back, just recently, Psalm 82. It says, God standeth in the congregation of God. Yeah, the word is El, which is singular, which is the Almighty God. He judgeth among the gods, which is Elohim, which is plural, which is often spoken about the Father and the Son. But it also speaks about the sons in the Son. He was the firstborn among many brethren. It's not your carnal man that is a son of God. The Mormons are wrong. It is your spiritual man who is born from above, born of the Word of God that came down out of heaven. That is the Son of God. That is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You're being created in His image, not in the flesh. You don't look like Him physically in the mirror, but spiritually you do. Your spiritual man does. And he's starving to death in many cases with the Word, because the Word is what makes him grow. It's what edifies him. It's what grows him up, right? He judgeth among the gods. He's not talking about false gods here, because Jesus quoted this over in John chapter 10. I'll read that to you in a minute. He said, how long will you judge unjustly? Why is he talking about us judging? Because we do judge, not in the carnal man. The spiritual man, God in us, judges, right? And respect the persons of the wicked. Oh, there's a lot of that going on, of course. Judge the poor and fatherless. He's not talking about in a negative way. He's talking about in a good way. Defend them, you know. The poor being the powerless, you know. Judge the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and destitute. Hey, you can do that. You know, some people think they can only do that on a human level, but it's not true. You have the authority to speak it. You have the authority to command it. The angels are just waiting for the word of God to come out of your mouth, Psalm 102 says, so they can fulfill it. They're just waiting. Rescue the poor and needy. Again, some people only think they can do that in a physical way. No, there's other ways to do it that are much more important. Deliver them out of the hand of the wicked. Well, amen. Well, there are people who are demon-possessed. And they're under the dominion of the devil and his demons. And we have the authority to help them. There are conditions. We give them the conditions. If they meet the condition, we're able to help them, right? In some cases, God doesn't ask any condition, because they're beyond the pale of being able to make a decision even. And the Lord took care of that too when he was on this earth. Whatever you saw him do, you can do. We are disciples, which is learners and followers, a mathetes, a learner and follower. Anything Jesus did, you can do. He did it to show you what you can do. I mean, there's too many out there saying he did that just because he was the Son of God. No, he didn't do that because he was the Son of God. The Bible says so. He did this because he is the Son of Man. That's what he said. Was he the Son of God? Yes, in his spiritual man. But the dominion over the earth was given to man. And Jesus came as a man in order to exercise that dominion and to pass on to his spiritual sons and daughters dominion. They know not, neither do they understand. Well, we're supposed to understand, but most of us don't understand either. They know not, neither do they understand. They walk to and fro in darkness. And folks, the best of us is still seeing darkly. Because it's not what you see with your eyes, even what you read in this book. It's what you see with your heart. And it's you have to have the freedom to walk in it. That's why the latter rain is coming. They walk to and fro in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. Yeah. Well, I believe this is when God's people are finally going to realize who they are, when it's a necessity for them to realize it. And he said, I said, ye are gods. Now, what did he mean by that? He was speaking to the congregation of gods. Judgeth among the gods. He said, all of you sons of the Most High. Why did he say that we are gods? Because all of you sons of the Most High. If God has a son, it's a god. Are you God in the flesh? No. But God is in our flesh. If he's not in your flesh, Christ is not in you. Is Christ God? Well, of course he is. And how is he manifested in you? By his word and by his anointing. That's how he's manifested in you. To the extent you agree with his word, to that extent you have come into him. To the extent you walk in his word, to that extent you've come into him. And the anointing breaks the yoke. The yoke of the old flesh and the spiritual gravity that holds you earthbound, right? We're to walk with Christ in heavenly places, right? We were designed for that, ordained for that. All of you sons of the Most High. I said you're gods, all of you sons of the Most High. And no, you say, David, you're abusing the verse. Well, no. If you just look in John chapter 10 and read what Jesus had to say there, I'll read it to you. The Jews answered him, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Okay, but Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law? I said, ye are gods. Notice that he's using the law as the Psalms too. See, some people say, oh no, he's just talking about the law. No, he's not. He's talking about the whole, what we call the Old Testament. It is written in your law. I said, ye are gods. And if he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, oh, he's calling the people who received the word of God, gods. And the scripture cannot be broken. Say ye of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest because I said I am Son of God? Wow. And if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. Okay, now, notice what he's saying. If you don't do the works of God, how can you say you're the Son of God? But if I do them, though you believe not me, believe the works. In other words, the works are going to prove who are the sons of God. Alright? Can people have power simply because God wants them to have power to save his people? But yet, like in Matthew chapter 7, Lord, didn't we do many mighty works in your name? He said, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. This is somebody who had something in the spirit man, but who was walking after the carnal man. If you walk after the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live, Paul said. Okay? So, we know the only way you can identify sons of God is by their fruit and by their works. And one thing that they do have is signs and wonders. Oh, glory be to God. I said, you are gods. Jesus said that to those whom the word of God came. He was talking about those who had that position in the Old Testament, even though they never lived up to it. Now, can that happen in the New Testament? Oh, absolutely. There are so many that don't live up to it, right? And going back over to Psalm 82, he said, I said ye are gods, all of you sons of the Most High. Do you think if God had a son, it would be a monkey? Do you think if God had a son, it would be a man? Well, no. If God had a son, it would be a god. And that's what he's saying, very plainly. No, you're not God in the flesh. And as to the extent that you live in the flesh, you're still just a son of man. You must die as a man and be resurrected as a god. Because you're in the God, Jesus Christ. In fact, he says that, verse 7. Nevertheless, you shall die like men, and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God. Now, who is it that died here? Who is it that was buried here? Those that were men. But he says, Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all the nations. Who did he say was going to inherit the nations? Us. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Why joint? Because we're all one. You see? Find out who you are in Jesus Christ, saints. Oh, it's so important. It is so important. I mean, we've got a long ways to go here. And we need to exercise our dominion. You know, we had a sweet little girl in our assembly named Miriam. She's 6 years old. Her mom and dad is a Philip and Sela Sapp. And Miriam, a couple of weeks ago, came to dad and said, Papa, Papa, I see angels, big angels, all around the congregation. A circle of them all around the congregation, big angels. She said, and they were very tall. To the ceiling, and the ceiling there, by the way, is a two-story ceiling. Big angels. And she said, and I see the Holy Spirit. And Papa asked her, well, what's the Holy Spirit look like? He's fire. How do you know that the Holy Spirit is fire? She said, because Jesus told me. And Jesus is taller than the rest of the angels. So that happened again the next week. And, oh, praise be to God. The angels are round about God's people. You know, Psalm 34 and 7 says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Oh, praise be to God. He encampeth round about those that fear God. There's no want to those that fear Him, verse 9 says. And young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Fear the Lord, he says. He goes on to teach. And on and on in Psalm 34. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Delivereth him out of them all. The righteous cried unto the Lord, and he delivereth him out of all their troubles. How does he do that? With the dominion that he gave to them. If they do not believe in the dominion that he gave to them over the sin, over the curse, then think not that that man shall receive anything from the Lord. Right? This is the problem. He's round about them. Well, what does Psalm 125 say? They that trust in the Lord are as Mount Zion. Oh, here's the people right here. Which cannot be moved, but abideth forever. So if you trust in the Lord, and you walk into your dominion, then that's what he's talking about. And Zion, of course, is the bride, and we know that the bride is going to walk in that dominion. Right underneath the king, like in the book of Esther. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from this time forth and forevermore. And the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the lot of the righteous, for the righteous put not forth their hands unto iniquity. Do good, O Lord, unto those that are good, and to them that are upright in their hearts. But as for such as turn aside unto their crooked ways, which many are doing in these days, there's a great falling away. The Lord will lead them forth with the workers of iniquity, but peace be upon Israel. Ain't that awesome? Michael Hare received a verse, a text of Zechariah chapter 9, which is about the coming of the Lord. And we know it was talking about the coming of the Lord in our day. In chapter 9, it talks about Tyre being judged, heaped up silver and dust and fine gold and as the mire in the streets. But the Lord dispossessed her. And I know, because the Lord told me, that this is talking about the United States. And then he talked about cutting off in chapter 9 the enemies of God's people, the Philistines. And then he talks in verse 8. Here's the verse. And the Lord just gave this to Michael. And I will encamp about my house against the army, that none pass through or return, and no oppressor shall pass through them any more. For now have I seen with mine eyes. So he's encamped round about those people that trust him, we just saw, and fear him, we just saw. Okay. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. That's the daughter of Zion in our day, right? O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just, having salvation. When did he say he was going to come? On the morning of the third day, Hosea 6, 1 through 3. He cometh unto thee. And how is he coming unto us? As the rain, as the latter rain, the anointing that breaks the yoke. Having salvation, lowly, riding upon an ass, even upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Now, you'll recognize that, of course, of Jesus, who was a type of the man-child in our day. He was a sign, an oath, a sign of something to come, Isaiah declared. Okay? And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. Chariots and horses, it's kind of like a passing through the Red Sea, right? And the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace unto the nations. And his dominion shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. And as for thee also, because of the blood of thy covenant, I have set free the prisoners from the pit wherein is no water. You know, Jesus preached Isaiah 61 when he first started his ministry, you know, and the man-child will too, to set the captives free, to open the prison to those that are bound. Turn you to the stronghold. Everybody ought to be headed toward Zion, the stronghold. You prisoners of hope, even today do I declare that I will render double unto thee. For I have bent Judah for me, and I have filled the bow with Ephraim. Ephraim, of course, was called the fullness of nations, and it represents the church of the fullness of nations, Ephraim does. And Judah, of course, is next to Jerusalem. So you've got a hierarchy there. The man-child, Jerusalem the bride, then Judah, and then Ephraim. And I will stir up thy sons, O Zion, against thy sons, O Greece. Well, you know what he's talking about here is the Hellenists. You know, the Hellenists were the Jews who wanted to be more like the beast of their day and the world of their day. And it represents the worldly Christian today. You know, the Hellenists, they liked what they saw in the nation that conquered them. And many today have been conquered by the nation in which they live and pledge allegiance to it and everything else, every other kind of lie, you know, they do. That's Hellenists today. He's going to stir up thy sons, O Zion, against thy sons, O Greece, and will make thee as the sword of a mighty man. And the Lord shall be seen over them, and his army, or his arrow, shall go forth as the lightning. And the Lord will blow the trumpet, and will go with whirlwinds in the south. The Lord of hosts, by the way, Michael read all of this here. He was given this text just a few days ago. The Lord of hosts will defend them, and they shall devour and shall tread down the sling stones, which usually were in the hands of the beast. And they shall drink and make a noise as through wine. And they shall be filled like bowls, like the corners of the altar. And the Lord their God will save them in that day as the flock of his people. For they shall be as the stones of a crown lifted on high over his land. That's dominion. A crown is for dominion. For how great is his goodness, and how great is his beauty. Grain shall make the young men flourish, and new wine the virgins. Well, we're about to have some new wine and some grain. People are going to be fed on the body and blood of Christ, aren't they? He says, ask of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. Here we go. What time is he talking about? All this we just got through reading about. It foreshadows what's going to happen in our day. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. Why? Because that's what breaks the yoke, that old earthly gravity that holds us earthbound and not in heavenly places, right? That nature, that carnal nature, which doesn't help us to be above this world. But we've been given dominion over this world. The Lord that maketh lightnings, and he will give them showers of rain to everyone, grass in the field. For the teraphim have spoken vanity, and the diviners have seen a lie. Yeah, there's a lot of that kind of witchcraft in the church. And many people say the Lord said this, and the Lord did that, and it wasn't the Lord at all, because anybody can read the word and tell that it's not the Lord. And they have told false dreams, and they comfort in vain. Therefore they go their way. And the false prophetic movement is major in this, you know. They false dreams and false visions and false prophecies. It's just because a demon has entered in. The same thing with faction, as a demon entered in there. The word goes out the window when the demons come in, folks. Therefore they go their way like sheep. They are afflicted because there's no shepherd. Mine anger is kindled against the shepherds. I will punish the he-goats, for the Lord of hosts has visited his flock. When's he going to visit? Well, we've been finding out. He's coming now to visit. He's going to visit in his man-child, and then he's going to visit in his people, the house of Judah. He's going to visit the house of Judah. That's where the man-child is, and the bride. And make them his goodly horse in the battle. In other words, he's going to use their flesh. He is coming in their flesh to do this work. And it's the same old flesh that you see that the people who have this anointing are going to have. It's the white horse rider. All those other riders are riding upon flesh too, and it represents people. They're going to use the power of people to bring every kind of destruction, all those riders that follow the white horse. From him shall come forth the cornerstone. I would say that's probably, in Jesus' day, that was him, and that man-child in our day. And from him, the nail, of course, that's the Judas, that's the people that crucified him, right? And from him, the battle bow. And from him, every ruler together. And they shall be as mighty men treading down their enemies in the mire of the streets in the battle. And they shall fight because the Lord is with them. And the riders on horses shall be confounded. Well, that's some other riders that follow the white horse, right? They'll be confounded. And I will strengthen the house of Judah and I will save the house of Joseph, and I will bring them back, for I have mercy upon them, and they shall be as though I had not cast them off, for I am the Lord their God, and I will hear them. And they of Ephraim shall be like a mighty man, that represents the church itself, and their heart shall rejoice as through wine, yea, their children shall see it and rejoice, and their heart shall be glad in the Lord. Well, and he's talking about, of course, a great revival. Amen? An awesome and great revival. And also we received Isaiah 9 just recently. Verse 2, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. This is coming. Great light is coming to the church. He's going to turn on the light switch, folks. We're going to find out who we are and who we are in Him, right? They that dwelt in the land of shadow of death, upon them hath light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nations. Thou hast increased their joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, a great revival. As men rejoice when they divide the spoil. Oh, that's true. We've been given the strong man to spoil his goods. For the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, thou hast broken as in the day of Midian. For all the armor of the armed man in the tumult, and the garments rolled in blood shall be for burning, for the fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of course, this is Jesus in that first body, Son of Man, and Jesus in this second body, Son of Man. Amen? Oh, God, thank you so much. You have done so wonderfully. And your plans are just being revealed to us little by little, Lord. And we're praising you and thanking you for the wonderful miracle you're going to do through your people, Father. Oh, glory be to God.